So it's relatively easy to live apart from our bodies, to be disconnected or only partially connected. It's also possible to live centered in the body, which is helpful because the body is a nexus, the meeting place of so many different parts of life, of the world. It's the meeting place of the external world and the internal world. It's the meeting place of conscious and unconscious processing that we have. The meeting place of our emotions and even our thoughts. And there's a mutual relationship between the body and the mind. They interact, they work together. Sometimes what happens in the body, the condition of the body, our physiology, influences the mind, what we think and how we think. Sometimes the conditions, the activities of the mind, what we think and how we think, affects the body. Sometimes as the body relaxes, the mind relaxes. Sometimes when the mind relaxes, the body relaxes. Sometimes when we make space for our physical experience, we're also making space for what goes on in the mind. Sometimes we make space for what goes on in the mind, we make space for what goes on in the body. When the Buddha gave first instructions in meditation to his own son, he began by explaining to his son about the four elements. In a sense, directing him kind of as a foundation to the physical experience of sensations in the body. And its world of sensations is an interplay between the sensations that simply arise with no input from ourselves, we sit here quietly and we don't make the room warm or cold. The sensations just come. But there's also those sensations in our body that are there because of what our mind does. Tensions in the body, holdings. It's called mental formations. And the Buddha gave instructions that of how to be with this physical world of the body. And the simplest instructions was to feel it, to sense it. And after explaining to his son the elements, he then also pointed to qualities of the mind that are useful to have when we're feeling the elements, feeling the body. Maybe because of the mutuality, the interpenetration of these things, he used the elements as metaphors to understand how the mind can be. He said to his son, "Let the mind be like the earth." Stable, firm, maybe broad in its stability. Sometimes people say, sit like a mountain. And he said that the earth, the great earth, just like the great earth is not troubled by people who swear at it, or spit at it, or not troubled by all kinds of things. Just the stability is there. The mountain is not affected by the winds that swirl around. To allow the mind to be stable. The Buddha said, let your mind be like water. Water that flows, is soft, water, his analogy was water like the great ocean. And the great ocean allows things to fall into it and float in it. But is not disturbed by what falls through and settles on the floor. Supple. And he said, make the mind like the air. And the space and the air around us is not troubled by things that go through it. A bird goes through the air and the air is not troubled. To make the mind like the air or like space is to allow things to arise and pass, appear, without any resistance to it. Without holding on to it. Giving our experience lots of room. So in this way, you might try, if you want, to bring your attention to your right hand. And feel the sensations that come into play in your right hand. Earth, water, air, fire. Feeling the hardness and softness, heaviness and lightness in the hand, the movements, tingling, vibration, pulsing. Feel the temperature, the warmth and the coolness of the hand. With your eyes closed, the shape of the hand is only a memory. And if you put aside the idea of hand, allow yourself to feel just the sensations as they play out, how they dance and come and go in the hand. Some feel pleasant. Some sensations might feel unpleasant. Some sensations are just there because a very impersonal phenomena, the temperature or pulsing of the blood. And maybe a few sensations are there because of how what your mind does, how you've held your hands, or how you're gripped or holding tight. And if you hold your attention in the right hand for a while, probably a range of sensations become known that you wouldn't have known if you hadn't focused there. It becomes richer, fuller, more alive with sensations. And then notice how you're being aware of those sensations. Are you straining to feel them? Are you hesitant, reluctant? Are you interested or disinterested? Are you is there fear? Or is there delight in the simplicity of feeling sensations? Is there doubt, or is there confidence in the value of simple awareness of sensations? Are you for or against those being with the sensations? Are you for and against spending time noticing the sensations? Are you up in the control tower at a distance, looking, thinking about the sensations? Or are you more resting in the middle of the hand, intimate? So more of you is a sponge for the sensations. The hand itself, the sponge that absorbs or take in or what would it be like to be with the sensations of the hand? For the mind to be, have stability like the earth. For the mind to be fluid or spacious, open, expansive like the ocean. Or for the mind to be inclusive of the sensations in the way that the airs, space are inclusive without resistance, with lots of space for what's there. Perhaps softening any tension in the mind. So that you can be more fully with those sensations. And then you might switch your attention to that part of your body where you most commonly experience breathing. The parts of your body where breathing is most obvious. And not exactly focusing on the experience of breathing, but allow your awareness to take in this part of your body where you, the way you took in the sensations of your hand. Some of the sensations are connected to breathing, and maybe some are not. Perhaps noticing the richness or range of sensations that are known as you sense and feel this part of your body. And how are you in your mind as you aware of your body breathing, this part of your body? If it seems appropriate or helpful, as you're with the sensations in that part where your body where you breathe, can you allow the awareness or the mind to be like stable like the earth, receptive and soft like the water, or spacious and undisturbed as the air? softening the thinking mind, thinking muscle. To be receptive to sensations. And finally, if you would like, if in addition to just staying with the sensations of breathing, if there are other things that are compelling and appropriate to be mindful of, you might notice how these things are playing out physically with sensations. How are they in the body? The sensations that are connected to your emotions, even the sensations that are connected to thinking or having preferences. Tuning into the physical sensory qualities, sensate qualities that are present. As life is expressed out of us, with us, in us. As you're sitting here, is there any tension? Any straining or resisting? Any experience of pressure? Tightness? And if there is, what would it be like to feel and sense that as simple sensations, maybe impersonal sensations, not a problem, but to be felt and experienced just as sensations? Like we felt the right hand, feeling intimately or fully, wherever in the body, the tension, pressure might be experienced. As if you have lots of room, space, for those sensations to be there. And as you sit here, is there any sense of calm or ease? Or well-being? Openness? And is there any way that those are felt as sensations in your body? They correlate with something physical. Where do they live physically in you? And might you be able to hold those with an open, transparent, or spacious awareness, like the air, like space, feeling them intimately, allowing them to be there also as somewhat impersonal phenomena, just sensations. So the Satipatthana Sutta, the formal instructions, begins with mindfulness of breathing. And then, as Andrea talked about, it kind of shifts to a mindfulness and activity, posture and activities. And in some sense, posture and activities are a little bit kind of the larger, coarser, maybe something like that, part of our experience. And then as the Satipatthana instructions go on, it kind of becomes more intimate. It kind of comes closer in, more, in a sense, more deeply into us. And one of the ways we see that is the instructions on the elements, the sensations. And sensations can be there when we're in activity, and they can, but to really sense and feel this almost kind of interior, or maybe interior kind of play of sensations that's so intimate and close to ourselves. And we'll see as we go along that the Satipatthana, in a kind of way, becomes more intimate, more closer in to the heart of things for us. If you're using breathing as the grounding, as the anchor for mindfulness practice, when you're sitting and meditating here, then when something else becomes compelling, becomes something significant to center the attention on, you might let yourself become aware of it. But then see if you can kind of give a little preference to feeling what it's like physically, the physicality of the experience. So certainly if there's, you know, strong body sensations, if you switch to it and do mindfulness of those sensations, you know, then it's physical. But if it's emotions, you can also do sensation meditation with emotions. Just feeling where those emotions live in your body and the play of sensations that they involve. And sometimes the advantage of doing that is a way of respectfully being with the emotion without being pulled into the more complicated aspects of it, the story, the ideas, our preferences about it. But just stay very simple with it and feel the play of sensations as they occur in parts of your body. And if there's a lot of thinking, remembering, or planning, or something, if you're kind of sensitive, you kind of pay careful attention, you might be able to notice a play of physical sensations that come into play around thinking. You know, maybe a sense of pressure, or tightness, or energy flowing, swirling in some parts of the body. The eyes, the forehead, the temples, the head, the jaw. Thinking sometimes plays itself out, or it's like has its threads that are pulling on the muscles of the shoulders or the chest or diaphragm, belly, hands. What's the physical kind of expression or manifestation of thinking or emoting? And it's sometimes it can be very simple, just, and you have permission to not make it very complicated what's happening, but just stay with it as physical sensations, the play of the elements, these qualities. And it's kind of remarkable what can begin happening and how it unfolds. It's kind of like when we bring this awareness to our sensory world, it's kind of like we're making space, breathing room, so those, whatever kind of is being expressed, whatever is kind of unfolding, has space to unfold. Very simplistically, maybe, or example would be that if you're really, maybe you're anxious about something, and in that anxiety you hold your shoulders really tense and your shoulders are up by your ears, and someone points that out to you, look at, you know, your shoulders are pretty high. So you're suddenly aware of that. And sometimes just that awareness, if the shoulders kind of, you're not even choosing to relax them, it seems like just the awareness of it, the space in the shoulders relax. You don't have to plan to relax them, it's just the awareness does it, almost. It's like you made room in the awareness for something to kind of unfold. And I've learned to trust the unfolding of what happens as I stay and make room and space for my experience. And I found it particularly helpful to do so in the field of the body, sensations. And certainly it's very supportive then to do so with a mind that is like the earth, or like the water, ocean, like the air. And so to this, staying with the sensations of the body, if you do that, there's also a peripheral attention that can also stay a little bit in touch with the quality of the mind. How the mind is when it's being mindful and attentive. Being mindful of that as well. And if the peripheral attention takes that into account, sometimes it's a little bit easier to be more relaxed, more soft, more less tight, less grasping, less pushing, less resisting, and making space for this inner expression or inner unfolding to happen in its own way. And as you know, there's sometimes a practice on these retreats to, within reason, to kind of slow down what you do. Be simpler, do less, slow down, do things kind of slowly. But not in a tight way, and not because you should, but rather because at some point it feels intuitive that there's a kind of a deeper intimacy, or a deeper kind of, maybe even delicacy, but deeper kind of connectedness to experience if we open our door for our room in a kind of slow way. We're really there for the experience, like we're really respecting and allowing ourselves to fully feel what it's like to touch the doorknob and to feel the arm touching it, and like the fullness, the richness of that experience physically that we wouldn't experience if we opened the door quickly and were focused on getting through it and somewhere else. Hardly notice the door. So if it feels right, if it feels that maybe intimacy or delicacy or connectedness is a rich world of, helps you to stay connected, helps you to stay present, helps you not to get caught up in thoughts and ideas and lost, you might consider today seeing if there's a way of appropriately maybe being slower or give more time to what you're doing as you do it. The one announcement for today is that you might want to check the practice discussion sheets that are up. Those people who had a meeting with Andre and I 2 days ago will meet with the other one of us today. So if you met with Andrea 2 days ago, you meet with me in room 1, down below and past the elevator. And if you met with me, you'll meet with Andrea in room 1, next to the manager's office. And Bruni will be sitting in with me today.